The attacker couldn't afford taking a chance of the file arriving with a name identifying it as source code, or a name related to the product. A request to send a file with a name like that outside the company might have set off alarm bells. Having the file relabeled with an innocuous name was crucial. As worked out by the attackers, the second young man had no qualms about sending the file outside the company. A file with a name like New Data, giving no clue as to the true nature of the information, would hardly make him suspicious. Finally, did you figure out what this story is doing in a chapter on industrial espionage? If not, here's the answer. What these two students did as a malicious prank could just as easily have been done by a professional industrial spy, perhaps in the pay of a competitor, or perhaps in the pay of a foreign government. Either way, the damage could have been devastating to the company, severely eroding the sales of their new product once the competitive product reached the market. How easily could the same type of attack be carried out against your company? Mitnick Message. The underlying rule that every employee should have firmly planted in his or her brain, except with management approval, don't transfer files to people you don't personally know, even if the destination appears to be within your company's internal network. Preventing the con. Industrial espionage, which has long been a challenge to businesses, has now become the bread and butter of traditional spies who have focused their efforts on obtaining company secrets for a price now that the Cold War has ended. Foreign governments and corporations are now using freelance industrial spies to steal information. Domestic companies also hire information brokers who cross the line in their efforts to obtain competitive intelligence. In many cases, there are former military spies turned industrial information brokers who have the prerequisite knowledge and experience to easily exploit organizations, especially those that have failed to deploy safeguards to protect their information and educate their people. Safety off-site. What could have helped the company that ran into problems with their off-site storage facility? The danger here could have been avoided if the company had been encrypting their data. Yes, encryption requires extra time and expense, but it's well worth the effort. Encrypted files need to be spot-checked regularly to be sure that the encryption-decryption is working smoothly. There's always the danger that the encryption keys will be lost, or that the only person who knows the keys will be hit by a bus, but the nuisance level can be minimized, and anyone who stores sensitive information off-site with a commercial firm and does not use encryption is, excuse me for being blunt, an idiot. It's like walking down the street in a bad neighborhood with $20 bills sticking out of your pockets, essentially asking to be robbed. Leaving backup media where someone could walk off with it is a common flaw in security. Several years ago, I was employed at a firm that could have made better efforts to protect client information. The operations staff left the firm's backup tapes outside the locked computer room door for a messenger to pick up each day. Anyone could have walked off with the backup tapes, which contained all of the firm's word-processed documents in unencrypted text. If backup data is encrypted, loss of the material is a nuisance. If it's not encrypted, well, you can envision the impact on your company better than I can. The need in larger companies for reliable off-site storage is pretty much a given. But your company's security procedures need to include an investigation of your storage company to see how conscientious they are about their own security policies and practices. If they're not as dedicated as your own company, all your security efforts could be undermined. Smaller companies have a good alternate choice for backup. Send the new and changed files each night to one of the companies offering online storage. Again, it's essential that the data be encrypted. Otherwise, the information is available not just to a bent employee at the storage company, but to every computer intruder who can breach the online storage company's computer systems or network. And, of course, when you set up an encryption system to protect the security of your backup files, you must also set up a highly secure procedure for storing the encryption keys or the passphrases that unlock them. Secret keys used to encrypt data should be stored in a safe or vault. Standard company practice needs to provide for the possibility that the employee handling this data could suddenly leave, die, or take another job. There must always be at least two people who know the storage space and the encryption-decryption procedures, as well as the policies for how and when keys are to be changed. The policies must also require that encryption keys be changed immediately upon the departure of any employee who had access to them. Who is that? The example in this chapter of a slick con artist who uses charm to get employees to share information reinforces the importance of verification of identity. The request to have source code forwarded to an FTP site also points to the importance of knowing your requester. In Chapter 16, you will find specific policies for verifying the identity of any stranger who makes a request for information, or a request that some action be taken. We've talked about the need for verification throughout the book. In Chapter 16, you'll get specifics of how this should be done.